Joining us now, Steve Proffitt, senior producer at Day to Day and letters editor. Steve, welcome back.
Thanks, Alex. And the inbox was heavy with email about the story you brought back from Junction City, Kansas.
That is the home of the Army's Fort Riley. We went there to talk with people about the Iraq War and specifically about the surge, whether it's working, whether it's worth it.
And at the end of that piece, you'll remember, Alex, you had a conversation with some military wives, wives who were very supportive of continuing the effort in Iraq. Let's listen to part of it.
They want our soldiers to come home, and they've only been there for a few years.
All of the sacrifices that we've made so far will have been for nothing. If we pull out now, the Iraqi people are not strong enough yet. Mm-hmm. They don't get it yet. It's not been long enough. And my husband missing my daughter's senior year in high school, him missing my second daughter's 16th birthday, will have been for nothing if we do that.
Military wives at Fort Riley, Kansas. Now, Alex, some listeners who wrote us were offended by this story. Dorothy Mundy, for instance, she thought it amounted to cheerleading for the war.
Interviewing wives, Ms. Mundy writes, is not the way to get a feeling for what the military thinks.
She continues, those wives understand which side their bread is buttered on, and they need to promote their husbands' careers in every possible way.
Now, a more personal view from Stephanie Izaguirre, an Army wife in San Juan, Puerto Rico, who says her husband's been to Iraq twice.
She thanks us for running the story, noting that her husband missed most of her pregnancy and the birth of her daughter while he was in Iraq.
She writes, I personally think this war has come at too high a cost. Still, I thank you for sharing so many differing opinions.
Rich Adams of Nashville, who says he's a retired Army officer, thinks we could have done a better job finding skeptics about the war within the military community.
And Earl Holland of Westerville, Ohio, also a veteran, says it made him proud to hear the military family's commitment to their soldiers.
But Mr. Holland thinks their point, that pulling out now would make all sacrifices meaningless, is troubling.
He writes, it sounds like someone who is addicted to gambling, throwing down the last month's rent on a hope for sure thing. It's time, he says, to stop gambling with the lives of our country's youth.
Okay, just a sample of the letters we got about the military wives in your story from Fort Riley, Kansas, and now on to a couple of corrections.
Corrections? I goofed.
No, not you, not at least this time. Our contributor Adam Burke filed a story last week from Coober Pedy, Australia.
Coober Pedy, yes, it's the opal mining town in the middle of a place that is so hot almost everyone lives underground.
Correct. In his story, Adam said Coober Pedy was a 25-hour drive northeast of Sydney. Well, as a full bevy of listeners noted, that would require a floating car since it would put one well out in the Pacific on the way to Hawaii.
Adam is deeply apologetic about this error.
As a Cooterpedian might say, maybe he was just a little knackered from his trip.
And Adam assures us Cooter Pedy is north and west of Sydney.
And Alex, in another story last week, our colleague Madeline Brand misspoke when she described Haley Barbour as the former governor of Mississippi.
He is the current governor of Mississippi, and he's running for re-election. He might be the next one, too.
That's right. Thanks to all our listeners who pointed out these errors.
And to write us, visit our website, npr.org, click on the Contact Us link, and then select Day to Day. NPR's Steve Proffitt, thank you again.
You're welcome, Alex.